Welcome to Fatal Flaw. I'm Molly.
And I'm Maddie.
A couple of disclaimers before we start. There will be spoilers for Percy Jackson and the Olympians and Heroes of Olympus. There will be adult language and adult topics, so proceed with caution. Mom, please don't listen to this. We're talking about gay shit today. I believe that's going to be the name of the episode. We're going to talk about gay shit. We've been talking about gay shit this whole time, but we're going to just really dive in deep today. Today we have a very special guest, Spencer.
Hello.
Spencer, we do a quick intro. Would you like to tell us your godly parent? And we have to also point out, Spencer currently is wearing a orange Camp Half-Blood t-shirt.
Oh, yes.
Maddie and I are so jealous. So, Spencer, we usually do godly parent. And what's your story with the books? When did you first read them? Have you reread? What's the dealio?
Okay, my godly parent is Apollo.
Yes.
I am an artist and a musician, so it all comes together there. And my experience with the books, I read them. I know that the original series was the only one out at the time when I read them. In fact, I'm not sure if the entire series was out at the time I started reading them. It was way back in middle school, and I'm 23 now for reference. So read them back then. And then, I mean, I'm sure I've reread them a couple of times. It's hard to remember. I mean, I watched the movie when it came out, which is a lot. That's a lot to say. Sorry for mentioning, you know, the cursed tome, but I mean, I didn't know what to expect then, but you know, every bit of media that came out, I'd jump right on it. So, I mean, I've kind of been here through the whole ride, whether or not I've read every book that he's put out, still on the table, but like, I've been here.
We love it.
Have you read beyond like Heroes of Olympus? Have you read like Trials of Apollo?
I have not read Trials of Apollo. I've read maybe half of Heroes of Olympus, and then like, because that was also still coming out when I was reading it, so by the time the next book came out, I had forgotten everything I'd read, because in true demigod fashion, I do have ADHD, so I'd forgotten everything. I'm like, I'll just reread it, and then I forget to reread it. But I have read Magnus Chase, which is one of my favorites. So my two like main series within the series is definitely the original and then Magnus Chase. I love with all my heart.
I'm a bad Percy Jackson podcaster. I have not read anything except the original series and Heroes of Olympus.
Well, at least you've read Heroes of Olympus. I haven't even gotten there.
You don't have a Percy Jackson podcast. We do. We need to get on it and be better.
Magnus Chase is so good. I can spend this entire time slot telling everyone why they need to read Magnus Chase.
We'll talk after.
We'll get there.
Yeah, I'll eventually read it, I'm sure. But I also have undiagnosed ADHD. So who knows if we'll ever get to it.
Well, you know how it'd be.
So do you know the characters of Heroes of Olympus, though? Because I have a couple points here that we're gonna talk about.
I
them
do. I can like name
Piper,
them right now.
Jason, yeah, that whole crew.
Them, so.
Okay. Oh, no. Okay. I feel a little bit better about my situation then. You got Piper. You got Jason. Leo is my boy. And then you get later on, and there's like Hazel, Frank. Oh, God. Who was the other one in that part? Hazel, Frank, and
Raina.
Yes.
If we're talking about gay shit, Raina's going to come there. Up.
Let's go.
So do you want to dive right in? I feel like I use the phrase dive right in every single episode.
Because you're obsessed with Percy.
I mean, real Poseidon shit.
It's the water metaphors. So when I talk about gay shit, I'm gay and I'm cis. So most of my gay shit headcanons are, you know, so-and-so is bi, this other person is bi, all of them are bi.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But I am lacking on trans headcanons. Do you have any?
Always and forever, everyone's trans. Thank you, the end.
Okay. All right, moving on. Check, check, check.
What I said, I'll stand by it. No, like, oh, man. You know, now that you mention it, I've read it a lot, but then I don't think I've reread it with a trans lens having settled into my identity super well. So, like, except for Magnus Chase, which I have read recently. But Magnus Chase takes care of its own trans stuff. Like, we be in there. We're in those books. And as far as the original goes, you know what? I'm just going to say Nico D'Angelo because I big kin with him. Like, hello. I love him.
Finally, some Nico love on this podcast. I feel like I'm the only Always. One that loves him here.
Wait, are you telling me that people come on this podcast and don't love Nico D'Angelo?
Listen, I love him. I'm just pretty neutral on him feelings-wise. Like, yeah. I love him as a character. I would protect him and all this stuff, but, like, I don't seek out any kind of, like, fan art. I don't get, like, super emotional about him, but I do love him in the books. I don't know if that's a distinction that makes any sense, but, like, I love him, but I don't love him.
Yeah, no, yeah. I get what you're saying, though. It's like, wow, when he's there, it's, like, nice, but, like, you're not going to fill your time with extra content. No, Thank I get you. You.
And it might just be that also my feelings for Percy and Annabeth are so, so intense that everything else, no matter how much I love Nico and Grover and whatever, no matter how much I love them, is
no
just
time
not going to compare.
Else. No, right. No time. I feel ya.
Yeah. So something that occurred to me is, so this, the whole Aphrodite shape-shifting kind of thing, where she, like, you look at her and she doesn't look like one particular thing. She's just kind of, you know, a kind of flowing, ever-changing thing. She looks like Annabeth for a second when Percy's looking at her.
Ooh.
Okay. Ooh. He's got a crush. But they never really addressed, what does Aphrodite look like for people who are attracted to men?
Mm.
Is it like, is it supposed to be people you're attracted to, or is it supposed to be, like, your ideal of feminine beauty?
I feel like there's a lot of, like, kind of loopholes, especially in the first series when he's not super aware of, like, the active inclusivity of it, that, like, you can kind of, like, sneak in there and be like, well, what about, you know, being a hunter of Artemis if you're a lesbian, you know, stuff like that. Like, ooh, you have to give up boys. Okay, big fucking deal. What? You tell me I get a bow and arrow, a bunch of gal pals, and I don't have to talk to men. Like, oh, whoop. Okay.
The immortality is just, like, a bonus.
Right? It's, like, literally, you're giving me everything I want. God. Ugh. But, like,
I wouldn't even have to be immortal. I would do that for a summer internship.
Straight up! It's, like, I feel like then, what with Aphrodite, that's a similar sort of loophole that he doesn't address because he's not quite aware at that point. And now I'm, like, thinking about it. What is gender to a god, you know?
But they are gendered.
They are.
Which is, it's confusing. And also, are certain features, like, do they have to be necessarily gendered? Like, oh, Aphrodite looks masculine in this moment because this person is attracted to masculine people? Or is it just, like, beauty, no matter gender?
I don't know. That's a rough one.
I know. And then in later...
Oh,
sorry,
I was
go ahead,
just going to say, and it's, like, pushing our, like, views of gender and femininity onto something that is supposed to be all being, like, all over the place. So why is the, like, Eurocentric views of whatever the hell this is the ultimate, like, being of this obviously super powerful goddess, because I fucking love Aphrodite, but, like, I don't know, it just seems kind of a little messed up.
Get into it. You're so right.
Yeah. I also think that was one of the ways Rick kind of totally sidestepped talking about that, like, when he says, no, we're not talking about God, capital G, we're not talking about the metaphysical. I feel like Aphrodite's kind of shape-shifting appearance is another way that he was like, okay, this is the goddess of beauty. I'm not going to make any assertions about European standards of beauty versus anything else.
I did enjoy that. I was like, okay, so you've got the goddess of beauty. So you're going to sit here and tell me, like, oh, she's the most beautiful woman in the world, and I'm going to tell you what that looks like. Like, No, I mean, everybody's idea is going to be different. So I feel like along those lines, well, I guess this begs the question, is this Aphrodite peering into somebody's mind and going, oh, that's what they're into? Or is this somebody's mind projecting onto Aphrodite? Oh. Like, is this something conscious to her? Or is this something reactive to the viewer? And in that case, my answer would change whether or not she would appear more masculine or not.
Spitting fire, just all of that. Holy shit.
You gotta ask the real questions. Is this something that she's consciously doing, or is this like, you know, is this like a holographic thing where if you move to a different, you know, angle, it's just gonna look different, and it's not trying to. That's just how it
is. Yeah. Is it like The Mist a little bit, where like the person performing the action, like when Percy's swinging a sword around, like he's not consciously saying the people around me are going to see me with a baseball bat instead of a sword. It's just The Mist manipulating things. I wonder if it's more like that.
I like that, where it's filling in gaps from your brain about what you expect to see.
But could you also manipulate it like Hazel can manipulate The Mist?
Ooh, now hang on. That's a possibility.
Would it be Aphrodite manipulating it, or would it be people around?
I don't know.
Oh my god.
It's just you and Aphrodite playing tug of war with how she's supposed to look.
Is that her way, when she briefly flashed to look like Annabeth, was that her way of like smacking Percy upside the head and being like, you love her, I know it.
Pay attention, boy.
Like, did she do that on purpose? Because that would be adorable.
Honestly, no, I see it.
You just absolutely destroyed me. I can't even believe you said that.
I'm dying about that right now. Like, I know that these gods are on Olympus watching these children like a TV show. Like, they flip to the Cam Half-Blood channel and it's like, oh my god, is Percy gonna like step up and stop being a seaweed brain about this right now? Hang on, let me go on down there and fix some stuff.
They literally
myself.
Have a TV show. They literally have a fucking TV show. Oh my god.
They do. It's happening. Except for they get to step in and fix it because these kids don't know how to do nothing.
So I totally wouldn't put it past her to intentionally look like Annabeth for a second.
100%. I feel like, okay, now here I've made a decision. This is how Aphrodite's appearance magics works, right? It can be, it's like breathing, right? You can, it happens and you don't have to think about it, but you can if you want, and then you can control it. So like she can take control of that and do what she wants, but then she can kind of let it go and let the other person's brain fill into it. But hang on, if I want you to see something, you're going to see it, right? It's one of those semi-automatic sort of things. That's how I'm going to decide that this is happening.
I love that. Next bullet point. Did Percy have a crush on Luke?
Yes. Yes. Are you fucking kidding me? I was going to bring it up, but then I was like, is this controversial? I don't know.
Yes, of course. Okay, thank you. Okay, we can get into it. Let's get into it. There are so many times, and I feel like, I don't even know if Rick did this on purpose or not. Probably not. But there are so many times when it's like, he was so cool looking. He was so handsome. And I don't know why, but when he came near me, my blood pressure went up. Or, like, my stomach clenched. Harold?
Oh, my God. No, I read into that, like, the first time I read it as, like, a 12-year-old. And I didn't really understand. I was like, why is he getting so nervous? Like, what's up? Hang on a second. Oh, my God. I'm so glad you mentioned that. There's birds and squirrels outside, and I'm like, oh my god, we put up a new bird here, and they're so cute. Okay.
You know how we said at the beginning of the episode that Spencer has ADHD?
Well, it manifests, all right.
That's one of the bonuses of the place that I record in, which is my parents' closet.
Wow.
Yeah, there's very little distraction, other than, like, I did get zoned out a little bit earlier thinking about how I have the same cardigan as my mom.
That's so embarrassing.
No, I'm next to the world's biggest window because I like a challenge.
Love that.
But about Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, of course he does. And he, you know, when he starts to put it together in the first book of like, wait a second, now things are getting a little suspicious about Luke. But I don't want to think that, because I think the world of him. I think he's amazing, and I don't want to fall into that idea and doubt him when he doesn't deserve it. And then, like, the absolute feeling of betrayal for this guy he met, like, how many weeks ago, being like, I can't believe you would do this to me, you beautiful bastard. Why?
I feel like this might be a wild leap, but I feel like when you see a stranger in public and you, like, fall in love with them a little bit, and then they turn around and, like, start holding hands with their wife or something, the betrayal.
Yes.
Like, you get so connected to someone and you're like, okay, that's, like, that's my future husband or that's my future wife. And then they just go and betray you like that. Mm-hmm. How could they? That's kind of what it reminds me of.
100%. It's just like puppy love, 12-year-old crush. Like, I don't know how to deal with my feelings. Look at this cool guy with these cool shoes. Whoa. Like, Luke was his bi-awakening, and I'm going to die on that hill. This is the hill that I've chosen.
Right. Except it might have been the bi-awakening, but he doesn't realize it until much later.
100%.
I feel like part of when he becomes conscious of it is when... It makes me laugh every time when Luke is, like, going through his, like, transition into being, like, ready for Kronos. Every time Percy sees him, he goes, wow, Luke looks like shit.
Wow.
And I feel like that, as an older kid, like, that might have been when Percy becomes actually aware of it. And it's like, wow, he looks like shit. He's not the usually rugged, handsome person that he is. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
I've just had a realization.
100%.
So along those lines, did Annabeth have a crush on Talia?
Yes! Are you kidding me?
Nobody talks about that. Everybody talks about her crush on Luke, which is definitely real.
Oh, yeah.
But Talia, question mark?
I mean, she doesn't want to talk about the tree. She doesn't want to get into it. It's, like, the bitter ex that ended a little weird, and, like, it's kind of up in the air. Like, you didn't officially break up. She just turned into a tree, and you didn't know what to do about it.
Yeah, we've all been there.
We've all had that, you know? Like, my last girlfriend turned into the moon.
That's rough, buddy.
So she's like, let's not discuss that right now, actually. Like, sorry about it, but I don't want to talk about my ex tree friend.
I'm going to start saying that's how my relationships ended, because that makes me feel so much better.
Wait until I come back from the tree.
Oh, fuck.
It's going to be real weird then.
Well, it also complicates when Annabeth is like, talking to Percy and says, like, you're either gonna be her best friend or hate Ooh. Each other. Annabeth, do you think maybe you have a type?
I mean, just dark-haired, stupid-brained, like, absolutely
Don't talk
feral.
About Talia like that, Spencer.
She's not stupid. She's just so impulsive. Listen, I can say this because I'm 100% exactly like that. We're so impulsive where it's like, all right, well, you know what? Fuck it. Let's try that. And then just, I'm like, yeah, that's 100% her type. Just screaming, flailing a sword into the void. Let's go. Like, run to the hills, turn to a tree, you know, real seaweed brain hours, except for Zeus.
I love that. And how convenient that she's older, and then because of the, you know, the whole tree thing, becomes their age. That's pretty convenient.
Listen, you can say whatever you want about the crushes that Annabeth and Percy have or have not experienced, but I will not stand for anyone disagreeing with the fact that they are bi for bi. They are like a straight passing, quote unquote, bi for bi relationship. And they do nothing but support and love each other about that. Okay.
Yes. I think the biggest drawback to podcasting as a medium is that they can't see when I'm using air quotes.
Right.
So I use the phrase quote unquote so much. But yeah, like, they are. Oh, my God.
It's so true. And you can take that whatever direction you want, as long as you start off on the starting point of, oh, they're bi. And then go crazy. Go wherever.
Yeah. They're Greek.
You know what? Like, ancient Greek was on the shits before we were. Like, good for them. Good for them.
I feel like I could just put two characters together at all, and everybody would be like, oh yeah, they definitely had a crush on her.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, well, I was gonna think of like some random characters like Reyna and Talia, but that is definitely not random. There is an entire.
No, I was saying that wasn't random. Aware of this? That's oh, no, that's like what you were like. I could take some random oh, characters, yeah, yeah, yeah. The two people oh, okay. that.
I know. That's why I'm like. That's why I'm like kind of facepalming myself right now, because I tried to think of two random characters and it turned out to be one of the most popular Willowa ships in the entire fandom.
Willowa. How about Willowa?
Yes.
The nymph Juniper that Grover was with for a little bit, and then the Oracle Delphi
the
in the
original
attic.
One.
Not original.
The mummy?
No, the mummy. I'm talking about the mummy. I'm not talking about Red.
I could see it, yeah.
They've both been on this campground for so long.
It's possible also because Juniper is a tree. She's been around for a long time.
I'm telling you.
The Oracle Delphi. Before.
She knew her when she was young and beautiful, and she would never give up on her. I've done it.
That's the fan fiction we need.
You did it.
Congratulations.
You did do it. Who doesn't have a crush on someone? Like, what pairing is there no romantic
Chiron
feelings?
And Mr. D? Oh,
no, they're bitter ex-husbands.
Disagree.
They're bitter ex-husbands. Why is Mr. D so mad about being at this camp? Sorry, I have to go to couples counseling with my ex-husband, who's also a horse. We're going to talk about this later. Like, I don't want to get into it. My ex-horseman.
Did you just say my ex-horseman?
My ex-horseman. He's my husband who's a horse, and I don't want to okay, talk fair. About it.
The yeah, episode I... should end here. It would have been a good episode.
Glad to be of service.
Oh my god. Can we talk about how Reyna is so stereotypical young lesbian getting crushes on the most generic white boy?
Yes.
That comes by.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean,
I've been there.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm bouncing right now. I'm very excited to talk about this. I have been thinking about this for a very long time. I have a lot of thoughts on Piper and lesbian identity. Are you guys buckled up? Are you guys ready to go on this little journey with me?
Rev it up, baby. Let's go.
All
Let
right.
Let me put my Crocs into four-wheel drive before we go.
So, I would like to introduce this with a quote. On page 134 of The Lost Hero.
Oh, she's digging in.
I know. She's prepared.
I'm ready.
I've got multiple sources here.
Let's go!
Piper gets the blessing of Aphrodite. And basically what this does is it puts her in a dress. It does her hair really beautiful. It gives her makeup that brings out all this natural beauty that she has. And Jason is shocked. He calls her beautiful. And Piper is extremely uncomfortable. And she says, "This isn't me." So I just want you to keep that mental image in your mind of Piper being very uncomfortable with all this traditional femininity, the makeup and everything. And now let's get into some academic literature.
Yeah, let's fucking go.
So, as I cannot shut the fuck up about, my degree was in linguistics. And I took this fucking life-changing class called Language and Gender. And some of the readings have stuck with me for, like, so long. Like, you can see my annotated copy, the annotation for this article is just an exclamation point.
Very studious.
So this article is called I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar by Robin Queen. The subtitle is The Importance of Linguistic Stereotype for Lesbian Identity Performances. I gotta cite my sources. And this stuck with me. I read it like freshman year of college, and I was just, it just like totally blew my mind. The quote that I think sums it up is she describes her discomfort kind of like Piper with, like, I didn't want to cheer for football players, I wanted to be one of the football players. She was very uncomfortable with being like a quote-unquote girl, and she says, "It took some time for me to realize that rather than being a failed girl, I was a failed heterosexual girl. I was, however, a rather successful lesbian."
Yes. Ah.
Right?
Oh my God, no.
Can you imagine me being 19 years old and reading that and being
life-changing.
Like, holy shit.
So, life-changing.
I know. And I know that gender and sexual orientation have a lot to do with each other, and it's very complicated, and some people relate to that experience and then they, you know, learn a little bit more about themselves and they identify as trans. And that is, you know, I'm not trying to invalidate it by being like, oh, you're just a lesbian. Like, that is not at all what I'm
No, 100%. That's the journey that I went through, having, like, I identified as a lesbian for quite a few years before I was like, now, hang on a second. But I went through that being like, it's not that I'm a failed woman. It's that, like, it's my sexuality I need to look at. And then I figured out my sexuality, and it's like, no, hang on, look at the gender again, kid. Figure that shit out, because it's something ain't right.
Right.
So, like, and no, I 100%
it's a lifelong journey, and I think that a lot of academics who wrote things like that in, like, the 70s, 80s, 90s did much later on in life when they, you know, learned more about themselves and maybe things have changed, they did start identifying as trans. So that, you know, I'm not trying to invalidate that at all, but I'm just specifically talking about lesbian gender. So I have two main points here about the whole article. I know I just used that quote, but the whole article is just so good. The main one is that lesbians can make use of lesbian stereotypes to project and live in a lesbian identity. So, you know, it's very complicated. Not every lesbian talks one way. Not every lesbian looks one way. But there are stereotypes that we can draw on to make us feel like we're projecting that identity. So that's one of the main things. Like, it's a stereotype that all lesbians wear flannel and combat boots. Like, that's a stereotype. You don't have to do that to be a lesbian. And if you do that, that doesn't mean you're a lesbian. But when I want to project my lesbian identity, when I want to perform that identity, I can dress in flannel and combat boots, and I will feel more secure. I will be channeling that lesbian energy. And the second point, which I think is very, very important for Piper, is that lesbian identity is significantly tied to gender identity as a woman. A lot of people that Robin Queen, who's the author of this article, a lot of people that she interviewed said that their lesbian identity was very central to their identity as a woman, and vice versa. You know, being a lesbian is very tied up in my connection to femininity and whatever. So basically, like, when I feel more like a lesbian, I feel more like a woman. And Piper, not like other girls, McLean, she goes on quite a journey like that. She rejects this Aphrodite's blessing. She rejects all these traditional femininity things. But throughout the series, she not only learns to, you know, work on the internalized misogyny, but she also, I think, becomes more comfortable, possibly in the subtext, more comfortable with her lesbian identity. And she knows that dressing in ways that are less traditionally feminine are actually just less traditionally heterosexual feminine. And she becomes so much more comfortable with that. And in that way, she also stops hating on other women who experience femininity in that way. You know, you can't say, like, well, my version of femininity is valid and good, but your version is, you know, bad and invalid. So I think when you become more, when you fall a little bit in love with your gender identity and your sexual orientation, then you stop giving a shit as much about the one that you didn't feel comfortable with. So and that's great. My rant. That's
no,
my
you're so right.
Thank you. That's the journey that I believe Piper goes on. Thank you so much for listening to that. I know that was a lot of me talking, but God, I feel so strongly about it.
Can I?
Like, having...
I know I've been obsessed with this recently, but do we think that maybe Jason was killed off because Rick Riordan realized he made a mistake in putting him and Piper together? Okay, that's all I have to say on this, but...
I mean, come on. I'm done with, like, the main central character being, like, just, you know, like... not a jock quite, but, like, super physically capable, and look at all the cool stuff I can do, and, like, I'm so mysterious, and blah, 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 blah. And then, like, the secondary character to, like, usually a trio being, like, this cool not like other girls, girl. It's like, okay, I'm done with it. We did this already. She's a lesbian, Harold. No, and I totally get that, having gone through a very similar journey of like hating the centralized idea of femininity because you don't fit into it, and hating people who perform that because it has been so rude to you in trying to perform it.
Yeah.
You're like, how could you enjoy that? Like you're putting yourself in a cage here, and then you go, oh, I'm gay. Okay. And then you see other girls and you're like, hell yeah, I love your whole thing. And that was the whole thing that like you just spent so long escaping from. And you find yourself and you're like, oh, this is great. This is awesome. I'm so glad that everyone can do whatever they want. Girls. That's it.
Right. Girls. That's it.
Women.
I cannot. That's so good. I also love how many people that I personally know go, and especially in college, when they are like really coming into their lesbian identity, they cut their hair off, which is totally what I did. You know, they cut their hair off, they start wearing like combat boots and flannel, and they buy a bunch of cats, and you know, they like learn astrology, like they like really lean into lesbian stereotypes because it is such a relief, especially around college age or late high school. I don't know, maybe, God, I hope younger kids are able to do that so much more comfortably, like in high school. That would be awesome. But for me, my generation, I think that happens a lot in college. People like really lean into it and they like wear big pride buttons and everything because it is such a relief. It's such a weight off your chest. And then senior year and they have longer hair. Senior year and they're like wearing a much more toned down wardrobe. And it's because they have, I don't want to use the word experimented because there's so much stuff with that, but they have done that and they have like broken out of the cage of traditional heterosexual femininity. And then, you know, they realize that they can do that as a choice, that it's exactly. Not being forced on them. They can do that because they want to.
You can borrow the parts of that that did work for you or that you can make work for you. That is 100% the entire journey I went through in high school. I cut off all of my hair freshman year. I wore the male uniform for orchestra. I was the first one to ever ask to wear a different uniform because I did not want to put a dress on. Whether or not that was sexuality-based or gender-based, I don't know. We'll unpack that another day. But, like, later on,
you
know.
That's what therapy is for.
Exactly. Later on, you know, come senior year, I've got the longest hair I've ever had down to, I don't know, down to my ribs. And it's dyed bright blue. And I love doing makeup. And I blah, 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 you know. Like,
I
had figured out what worked for me.
I remember that hair and I loved it.
Oh,
oh
my God.
God.
Good, because it was so high maintenance. People better remember it.
No, it's like iconic in my mind.
Good.
Absolutely, 100% love that hair.
Yes.
But yeah, that's so right. It's like you take the parts that you like and you do it as a choice and not as something like forced on you.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. And I think it fits Piper so well.
So
to
well.
Bring it back to Percy Jackson, the Percy Jackson of it all.
Okay, can I touch on something you said a little earlier?
Please.
That I think I have a little story that you might enjoy. Not a story, just an addition to you speaking about, you know, that's a journey that a lot of people go through in high school and college, and I hope younger kids, you say. And I have a friend who's got two young kids, one of them 10 and the other 12. And he's trying to get the younger kid to like read more books and blah, blah, blah. And I'm talking about Percy Jackson all the time with him. And like, you know, so he gets the younger kid to read Percy Jackson. And the reason he did that is that this kid recently came into their identity as a non-binary person at 10 years old.
10?
10 years old. Oh, I am so proud of them. I've known them since they were maybe like 7 or 8, maybe. And I'm so proud of them. They cut their hair short, and all that their dad needed to do to get them to read these books is be like, there is people of so many different genders, so many different sexualities, and they breeze through the book in no time flat. They are so into it. Oh, my God. I'm so proud of them.
I'm so happy for them. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for the whole generation. It makes me so, so happy that we have people in elementary school.
Yeah.
Who, okay, I didn't even realize, like, I was gay the whole time, but I didn't even realize I was gay until I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
I I could drive before. Well, now we're getting into the game.
Legally.
I'm a very good driver. But I could drive. Like, I had a job before I realized I was even, I didn't even realize I was, like, very far on the Kinsey scale. I thought it was, like, half and half by. I didn't even realize that the feelings I had were romantic attraction to women until I was 16. And then I didn't come out for a while after that. And now kids not only know themselves, but also come out that early. I'm just so fucking happy for the world, for their generation.
This kid, their older sister, 12, is out as bi. And I'm just so proud of these kids. I can gush about these two kids forever. I'm so proud of them forever.
I'm so happy. And I feel like this has to have something to do with it. Seeing characters like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
In shit like Percy Jackson. Well, not the original series, but, you know, the auxiliary series is that has to have something to do with it, is the representation and the knowing, the understanding.
Yes, 100%.
I think that's what's so great about the Percy Jackson series as a whole, is that you can, like, go through and read the whole thing and see how, like, Rick has listened to his fans and society and, like, the way we're going as the world. Like, he wasn't stuck in this one, like, well, Percy's a straight white man and we're gonna keep everyone to be a straight white man. No, he, like, his characters evolved and everyone evolved and his writing evolved and he encompassed everyone, not everyone, but, like, he did his best and he's still working on doing his best. Representing, you know, minorities and people outside of society's expectations or whatever. And I think that's really awesome, and it's something that's great. And, like, I mean, when I first read the series, I mean, I was a straight white person in the Midwest. I didn't even read into any of this. And then coming into the fandom, I've learned so much and see through you guys, like, how actually great and awesome and representative it is. And that's also a really great thing about, like, culture, is that you can make it your own. And I talk to people about Taylor Swift all the time, where, like, you can listen to a song and, like, Molly can interpret it one way and I can interpret it another. And that's what art is about. And that's what's so great about the Percy Jackson series, because he doesn't, like, limit it. It's open and everyone can have their own perspectives.
100%. And I think also it's just very natural for the series to go in that direction, because if you make a story about, like, young kids at a coming of age sort of age, about how they're different from the rest of society and, you know, something's been off my whole life, you know, it's just whatever works for other people isn't working for me and I don't understand what's wrong with me, what's different, you know. And you go to a place where everyone else is just like you and you're like, oh my God, nothing was wrong with me. I'm just different. And there's tons and tons of other people who are just like me who will always understand me. And you can't make a story with that intrinsically built in without it going in a direction like the one that we're talking about. It's a found family type of thing, and that is intrinsically built into it. And if you weren't going to put LGBT characters into it, that's doing a disservice, because when that was just the original series, just the first five books, and no one was out, no one was specifically gay, bi, trans, so many of the people who read it were. Like, they found solace in that, because that part of the story is just so, you know, it's something that we find comfort in, finding people who are like us. No matter, you know, no matter how long we grew up without it, finding people who are like us is something that attracts young LGBT people. And I say this because, you know, having read only the first five books when those were the only ones out, I was about 15 years old and I had my first girlfriend and she was so into Percy Jackson. And that was a common thing for us. That was something we had in common that we loved to talk about, that we both found super comforting, and, like, putting two and two together, of course we did, you know? Of course we did.
I am losing my goddamn mind right now. I don't know how I never put it together that the whole thing is a fucking metaphor.
Of course.
I knew that gay people, queer people, the queer community, especially young people, were attracted to Percy Jackson as a series, and Percy Jackson himself. It's like, do you listen to Girl in Red? Like,
yeah.
Do you read Percy Jackson? Like, I knew that, but I never really made the connection with the found family tropes. I thought it was just because there were swords.
Also a very good
Why
contender.
Why can't it be both?
Gotta say.
Why can't it be both?
¿Por qué no los dos? It is both.
Right.
Swords, found family swords.
Yeah, and the line, and this is not a line in the book series itself, but in the musical,
it's repeated
a lot. The things that make you different are the very things that make you strong. So be strong.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, that is so... it explains so much of why the queer community is so pulled to these books.
Can I also, on that topic of finding, you know, finding queer community before that was really an explicit part of the series, and speaking on, you know, my past girlfriend and our shared interest in the series... It's not as deep as the previous stuff I said, but I do want to say that, like, one of the gifts I gave her when we were dating was I handmade her a Camp Half-Blood necklace with a bead, and I would paint tiny little things on it, things that we'd done together. So she took me on a date to, like, a carousel at one point, and so I had painted, like, a carousel horse on it and, like, things that we had in common on the beads, and I gave that to her, and, like, how integral it was to our relationship was so, like, ridiculous.
Holy shit.
That is so fucking cute. Oh, my God.
I was, like, 16, and I was out here doing whole shit like that. Like, calm down, kid.
My boyfriend, when I was 16, drew me a picture of Stalin, and...
What?
I just want to say that I am feeling very cheated
in
my high school relationship.
Oh, my God!
What?
What if my ex-girlfriend from high school is still super into Percy Jackson and is, like, looking for a podcast and hears this? Oh, my God.
She's out there
somewhere. I haven't spoken to her in years.
I can show you our analytics. We have approximately 15 to 20 listeners per episode. And I'm pretty sure one of them is me, one of them is Maddie, and the others are people who I know by name.
But eventually.
Eventually. You know,
with my luck. It'll be like, wait a second.
The only thing you said is that you were a very good creative gift giver. And that's pretty much the only extrapolation that we can get from this. So that's fine.
There you go. No,
if you're out there, send in pictures of the bead necklace.
If she still has it, I'll lose my mind. Hang on a second. Yep, I am looking directly at a gift she gave me.
I hope she still has it. I would have kept that.
Was it Percy Jackson themed? If so, you need to show me.
It was, I mean, not specifically. Hang on.
Percy Jackson
No, wait.
Wait.
It can kind
then
of
I'm
be
Percy. Over it.
No, hang on.
If it's not Percy Jackson, I don't want to see it.
My God, I'm really going to show my ass with this one, huh? It is kind of Percy Jackson themed because one thing we loved about Percy Jackson was we both loved how Percy was a son of Poseidon because I loved the ocean and she, like, had come from a coastal sort of place. And so when she would visit it, she would bring me back seawater, sand, and shells.
That's so fucking gay.
It's so gay, and I still have it. This is the seawater she gave me. Like, why am I out? Literally, I haven't spoken to her since I was, like, 17. Why the fuck am I out here being, like, pining about, like, a teenage ex-girlfriend? Oh, my God. If you're out there, message me. I guess we have things to talk about. No.
If you would like to be a guest on the Percy Jackson podcast.
I know she has a lot to say. She likes Hermes. Oh. She got Hermes, like, wings tattooed on her ankles.
That's
Let's go.
We would be happy to have her on.
If you need to text your high school sweetheart, we support it. 'Tis the damn season.
I really showed my ass like that, huh? Sorry for being gay on your podcast. I'll quit. I'll stop being gay. Oh, God.
God. Yeah, no wonder gay people are pulled to Percy Jackson. I'm so mad that the series stops when Percy leaves for college, because, oh my God, we never get to see Percy in eyeliner or mascara. Maybe it's like the Dumbledore was wearing roller skates the entire time kind of thing.
They don't say it, but you know.
Actually, Rick Riordan's going to come out in 5 years and be like, actually, Percy was wearing eyeliner the entire time.
And I'd believe it.
I would. Put Percy in eyeliner, please. Well, if anybody is a fic writer or fan art or anything, you like, it's going to be a requirement from now on. Eyeliner, mascara, anything.
All of it. I cannot believe that you haven't read Magnus Chase, because he does make an appearance. Like,
I have read the first half of the first book of Trials of Apollo, and all I did was notice every time Percy Jackson was hot. It was a lot.
Wait, Percy's in Trials of Apollo? Like,
very briefly.
Why the fuck?
He makes appearances.
Okay, now I need to get on that, because I had thought that it was a completely separate thing. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, he shows up.
Or not Trials of Apollo. Of course, Trials of Apollo. I'm thinking about, my brain was mixing it up with the one, like, Anubis, whatnot.
No, I don't know that one. But no. Is that the Cain Chronicles?
Yeah.
Annabeth does show up in that.
What?
There's a crossover short story where Sadie Kane meets Annabeth Chase. It's okay. As a bonus in one of the, I think it's in the Heroes of Olympus, like as a bonus at the end of one of the books.
Okay, because that's the one I was thinking of when you were saying like Trials of Apollo and whatnot. I was like, oh yeah, the god that starts with A, which is every single one of them from every single pantheon.
The Percy Jackson universe is very similar to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where they're just so like interwoven. Mm. You really can't read a book series without running into someone.
Well, and I don't know why I was, like, so surprised that, like, Annabeth and Percy showed up and Magnus Chase. The dude's name is Magnus Chase.
I didn't realize that. I did not put it together. I was, like, a few months into my resurgence of my Percy Jackson phase in 2020 before someone was like, Magnus Chase, Annabeth Chase's cousin.
Oh, my God.
Didn't realize it. I don't know why I didn't, because I had heard Magnus Chase before. I knew of it when it was coming out, but I just didn't read it, and it somehow never occurred to me.
I know, like,
that they were related.
It didn't click.
That's Annabeth's last name.
Oh my God. Literally same.
So I think all we've established in this episode is that I'm gay and dumb.
Listen, retweet, because I'm right there with you, baby.
I'm kind of an idiot.
That's how we do. Listen, I feel like my it's my duty as a person to sell to you Magnus Chase.
I'll read it, I promise.
It's so good.
I know that I need it. I have known that I need to read it.
Good. Well, I feel like also just that series, it features a very prominent trans character, and like as a trans person, I'm like, oh, this is the series for me. Also, as a Swedish person, kind of a little bit for me. But, like, I was like, oh, the Norse gods. Now, that's where I'm from. Hang on. Norse trans people. I'm like, this is my book, and I am in it.
That's awesome.
It's so good.
So when is Rick going to do a Rick Riordan Presents for Jewish people?
When?
When?
Put it, fucking send it. Fund
it's
it.
It's in
where
the Percy Jackson books. It's in the Percy Jackson books. Percy's Jewish, Molly. He's a nice Jewish bi boy. Come on now.
I love that.
I'm here for it.
So at the first Pride Parade I actually walked in it in St. Louis. This was before I even realized I was gay. But I carried a sign as an ally, quote unquote.
Oh, we've been there.
I carried a sign. I was walking with the Jewish community, and they had these signs that said, I heart nice Jewish boys, and I heart nice Jewish girls. So it's very tied up for me, my story.
Hilarious.
I love it.
Maddie's losing it.
I love it.
So do you want to talk about the trans character in Magnus Chase? Because I have no fucking clue.
Listen, let me tell you about Alex Fierro. Let's go.
Alex Fierro, hit me up. I have no clue.
This is what I love about Alex Fierro, all right? Alex Fierro, child of Loki. Loki is inherently trans, let's go. Like, we know. Like, you can
right off the bat, yes. Okay.
Original Norse myths, Loki trans. Fucking Marvel Cinematic, well, not the Cinematic Universe yet, but Marvel Comics, Loki trans. Anyway, Alex Fierro is a child of Loki, so that kind of sets things up for, but what I love about Alex Fierro is that she uses she pronouns, she, her pronouns, and also he, him pronouns, and changes to whatever she feels that day or whatever he feels that day. And it's brought up at some point in the book, why don't you just use they? It would be so much easier. And she says, well, that's not me. If you can't get it right, then, like, it's not that hard. Figure it out. Sometimes I'm she, sometimes I'm he. Why would I be they to make it easier for you? It's not me. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in love with you.
Okay, I'm reading it.
Period. Like, she's amazing. Oh my God. And I could get, like, further into the story and her, just her place in the story and her relationship with the others in the story. But, like, listen, that's a journey you need to go on yourself. But as a trans person, I did have to put the good name of Alex Fierro out into the world.
Yeah.
And I also, it's not gay, but I do also need to put the good name of Hearthstone from Magnus Chase out in the world as someone who uses ASL, a whole elf that's deaf and uses ASL. I love him.
Yes.
So that's my pitch for this series. Thank you very much.
I have a spoilery question. Does Alex have a romantic interest?
Yes.
Is it Magnus Chase?
It is.
Okay, then I'm in. Yes.
Okay. No, wait, because I was going to say that. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to, like, spoil it. But, like,
We do all spoilers. Every
literally,
spoiler.
It's godlike, because Magnus is like, okay, no, I'm, like, a regular straight dude, whatever. And I think he kisses Alex when she's a girl. And, like, he can kind of just tell when he can kind of look at her and just be like, oh, these are your pronouns right now. Like, it's just this intrinsic thing that he has, which is super cool. And so he kisses Alex when she's a girl, whatever. And they're like, oh, we got a thing going on. And later on, kisses Alex when he's a boy. And then it's like, oh, my God, I've never kissed a boy before. I just kissed a boy. I guess I'm bi. That's pretty cool, huh?
Like, I love that.
It wasn't even like, I guess you're like an honorary boy or whatever. It's like, oh, straight up, I just kissed my first boy. That's pretty neat. Whoa. I'm like, yeah, let's fucking go.
That's awesome. Oh my God. Amazing. I definitely need to read it now.
It's amazing.
But I'm not allowed to buy any more Percy Jackson books. Nobody let me buy any more Percy Jackson books. This is my own rule because I spend too much money. Every time I go to a Target or a Barnes & Noble, I buy another Percy Jackson book and I can't do it anymore.
This isn't Percy Jackson, it's Magnus Chase. This is a loophole that I'm allowing.
Yeah, I see. But Percy Jackson appears.
Not in the first, at some point, but not all of them. So.
Okay. I'll use it as a loophole.
Hey.
I don't have space on my shelf, Spencer.
Oh,
you can't keep doing this to me.
Listen, get a new shelf. These are problems that
if sponsors start rolling in, it'll all be worth it. Yeah.
Let's go. Mr. Uncle Rick, sir, please put us on the map.
I love my bookshelf, which is next to my Casper mattress.
Let me
check
tell
out
you
our
about Casper mattress
website.
You know, listen, what I love to do when I'm reading?
What?
I love to try on my new clothes from Stitch Fix.
Now, that's interesting, because when I wear my Stitch Fix clothes that they send me, personalized to my taste, you know what I also enjoy wearing? My MeUndies.
Okay, now that we've actually brought up MeUndies, this is not a joke anymore. There is a MeUndies ad that keeps showing up on my Facebook, and it's fucking
personal. What?
I'm sending it right now.
Please, I don't fucking believe you. I do not
believe you. MeUndies, I'm going to their website. Oh my gosh, I found their Instagram too.
Whoa, okay.
They're so fucking hot.
Oh, shut up. You're so right.
If you click on the... Oh, you have one of those scalp massagers.
Oh, I do. Sorry, I was like
fidgeting. I love that. See, my ADHD is undiagnosed, but it's real.
Yeah, I feel that. I almost brought my fidget cube, but I was like, that makes too much noise.
So if you click on their Instagram, the description of it like tags the models in that picture, and the one with the dark hair uses they them pronouns.
Wow!
Yes. And so I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, fucking Persibeth. Like the dark hair, the like, and the blonde girl and the like way that they're interacting with each other is just like, you can tell that they're a real couple and they really love each other. And then you click and they're fucking, they use they, them pronouns.
I would like to say then, if this is Persibeth and they use they, them pronouns, let me as a he, they speak into the world, he, they, Percy Jackson.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
100%.
Just thought I'd put that out there.
Would you like to expand upon that?
Yes. Imagine this, Percy Jackson, but he, they. Thank you. That's it. Nothing else needs to be said. Listen, my siblings out there, they know what I'm talking about. They know.
They'll know, yeah. He, they will know.
He, they will know.
So we usually have...
It's 420, sorry.
Blaze it. I'm a literal Girl Scout.
I don't, can I just tell you that I posted about getting high on our podcast Twitter, and Molly and one of our previous guests were like, Maddie, how could you do that? What is wrong with you? You are so brave. And I was like, dude, like, it's
you're so brave. Braver than the truth.
So we usually, I didn't do it this time because I figured we have like a lot to talk about with gay shit.
Oh yeah.
So we can, I mean, we can continue going with that. Or also, I made a Percy Jackson English essay prompt generator. The point of which is to bullshit your way through like an English essay topic. Would you like to do that?
Listen, I spent my entire public school life doing that. I'm so ready.
Yes. Okay. So also, if there's anything else you want to say about gay shit, I'm sure we will be revisiting and I will be happy to have you on again.
And I'd be happy to be back once I actually reread the books, like I said I was going to.
And I will, by that time, I will have read Magnus Chase.
Yes, yes. I'll come back when you read Magnus Chase. Back, yes. I will.
Was there anything else? I mean, I have a bullet point on here that we kind of skipped, but we kind of hit on, which is just the hunters. That was the only thing in the bullet point. Was there anything else that we wanted to say about the hunters?
Hunters of Artemis be gay. That's it. Like,
that's it. Yeah.
Most of them are lesbians or asexual. And they're like, I can't believe you made this group thinking it would be such a big sacrifice for us. You fools. You gave us immortality for shit we were already doing. Cannot believe it.
Okay, so this English essay prompt generator uses the fourth letter of your first name and the day you were born. So the first category is something from the Percy Jackson universe and the fourth letter of your first name. So S-P-E-N. N is guinea pigs on Circe's island. And the prompt is phrased as, what is the significance of blank as it relates to blank?
Okay.
So what is the significance of guinea pigs on Circe's island? And the English paper theme is the day you were born. What's your birthday?
August 14th.
Okay, so you're on 14.
Oh, no.
Teamwork.
Guinea pigs on Circe's island as it relates to teamwork.
Yes. What is the significance of guinea pigs on Circe's island as it relates to teamwork?
Well, I'll tell you, Molly.
Hit me.
Guinea pigs on Circe's island. You wind up on Circe's island, you go to a spa, you turn into a guinea pig. It happens to the best of us. But what you don't know is that this is a, it's like you go back in time and this is a often used practice for team building exercises. Like a, you know, like your PR person or your HR person is having a day where, oh man, we gotta start working together as a team. I'm going to turn you all into guinea pigs. We're going to figure this out.
Oh, so that's like attested. That's like
100%.
And
it's exercise. So far back in history, it is a tried and true method. And the reason this works is because when you're guinea pigs in a world made for humans or humanoid creatures, you need to rely on each other to get out. You need to rely on each other to figure out, how are we going to get out of this situation? And this actually arose from a miscommunication, a mistranslation, guinea pig as in science experiment. Like, will you be the guinea pig for this team building exercise? But things went awry in translation. They're just very lucky that it turned out to work well for them. So we do have a mistranslation to thank for this very, very tried and true method of team building. And ever since that fateful day, we've been turning people into guinea pigs, putting them in those, like courses, you know, you build a little course for them and it's like, you gotta figure out with your little guinea pig brain how to get through this maze, communicate in a language you've never spoken, which is guinea pig, and figure this out. And it's once you have a common enemy, which is the fact that you're a guinea pig, you have to be able to work with anyone. You have to get over that together.
Yeah, just you. We have to pause here.
And you gave us a whole damn essay. That's so funny.
No, that is perfect. I just have to pause and acknowledge that you said, now that you have a common enemy, which is being a guinea pig.
Yes! You don't want to be a guinea pig. Are you kidding me? You're so used to being human. You all, maybe it didn't work well together before, but none of you want to be a guinea pig. And in order to get over that, you have to get over yourself. And you have to work together as guinea pig kind. And so obviously Rick Riordan kind of fell back on that as a common psychology experiment. Mm-hmm, and kind mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. changed that to fit the narrative of, you know, a Greek sort of setting, Circe and whatnot. And
100%.
You know, anyone who took like Psych 101 would know about this experiment and would understand what he was doing as a writer. I, of course, knew exactly what he was doing. I was like, wow, it's the guinea pig experiment of 1802. Holy hell.
Oh my God.
You know, once you get that knowledge, you can read into that and realize there's so much more to that scene. And it's just there's the teamwork there. You understand. You know, you understand the story that he's trying to tell that may have gone over your head as a 12-year-old. You asked and I told. I don't half-ass anything.
That was the most incredible bullshitting talent I've ever seen in my entire life.
And that's how I graduated high school, baby.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Thank
you. Oh, wow.
I think I missed that day in Psych 101, though. So.
Well, maybe we went to a different school.
Our psych teacher just showed clips from The Office.
That's literally so fucking true.
Honestly.
I believe we're wrapping up here. That was so fucking fun.
That was amazing.
That was
Spencer,
great.
Please come back anytime.
You know I will. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to read Magnus Chase and then we can come back on and talk about it.
Listen, I know I need to reread the original series, but now I'm on my Magnus Chase shit and I want to reread Magnus Chase. There's only three books. I went right through them like, whew.
Oh, there's only three?
There's only three.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Then yes, okay. I'll read it.
Good. Oh my
I'm
God.
I'm buying them right now.
Yes!
Oh
yes!
My God. Maddie, can I borrow them when you buy them?
Yeah.
My sales pitch was successful.
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm so glad.
Rick, when are you getting Spencer a cut?
Hey, listen, Rick, I'm here. I can't get unemployment. We're in a pandemic. Give me the money.
Fuck.
So do you have any social media that you want to plug?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @Spenshi. That's SPENSHI. And that's pretty much my username on everything. I'm everywhere. If that doesn't work, it either has an underscore before it or an extra I after it. Figure it out.
And you do Twitch streaming, right?
Oh, I do stream on Twitch. I do. I've recently been doing some art streams as an artist, and I play video games sometimes. And that handle is Spenshi with two I's at the end. SPENSHII.
Incredible.
And that's what I do.
Check out TikTok, too.
I'm also there.
There's some fucking bops on it. They'll get stuck in your head.
Hey, I think that's the same as my Twitch handle. So, wayo.
All right, well, it has been a fucking delight talking about Percy Jackson and gay shit with you.
It's been wonderful. I can't wait to be back when you've read the book.
Yes. Thank you for listening to Fatal Flaw. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Fatal Flaw PJO. Music by David Thal from the band Glass Bandit. You can find them on social media at Glass Bandit Music.
Also, are you cool with us cursing?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, thank you.
My cat is actually sitting right next to me, so if you could leave the profanity.
My cat is here too, but she's not a wimp.
She's a baby.